wonder what he would be like if I could break through that control of his. What would it be like to have all that pent-up energy inside me? Oh, not now. Later, she commanded herself. After the hearing is over. If we come out of the hearing okay, then I can relax with him. If we don't... Oh, I'd hate to be the one sent to terminate him. If it comes to that, we'll need a team of people for the job. A team of very good people. Then she thought, why think about terminating him? Use him. Can I make him loyal to me? She asked herself. Can I use him for my personal agenda? Smiling inwardly, she thought, it could be fun. It could be very pleasurable. Aloud, she said, there is one more task you could do for us before you, retire. What is that? He asked, his voice flat, his eyes riveted on hers. You'll have to go to Ceres. I can arrange a high-thrust flight for you, but it must be very quiet. No one is to know. Not even Grigor. He stared at her for a long, intense moment. Not even Grigor? He muttered. No. You will report directly to me. Harbin smiled at that, and she wondered again how he would look without his beard. Do you ever shave? She asked.
I was going to, when you knocked at my door.
Hours later, sticky and sweaty in bed beside him, Diane grinned to herself. Being Delilah was thoroughly enjoyable. Harbin turned to her and slid a hand across her midriff. About this business on Ceres, he said, surprising her. Yes?
Who do I have to kill?
Much to Hector Wilcox's misgiving, Douglas Stavanger inserted himself into the hearing. 2 days before the hearing was to begin, Stavanger invited Wilcox to dinner at the Earthview restaurant. Wilcox knew it was not a purely social invitation. If the youthful founder of Cellini wanted to be in on the hearing, there was nothing the IAA executive could do about it, without raising hackles. Stavanger was very diplomatic, of course. He offered a conference room in Cellini's offices, up in one of the towers that supported the dome of the Grand Plaza. The price of his hospitality was to allow him to sit in on the hearing. It'll be pretty dull stuff, mostly, Wilcox warned, over dinner his second night on the moon. Oh, I don't think so, said Stavanger, with the bright enthusiasm of a youth. Anything involving Martin Humphreys is bound to be interesting. So that's it, Wilcox said to himself as he picked at his fruit salad. He's following Martin's trail. You know Mr. Humphreys won't be present at the hearing, he said. Really? Stavanger looked surprised. I thought that Fuchs was accusing him of piracy. Wilcox frowned his deepest. Piracy? He sneered. Poppycock. Stavanger smiled brightly. That's what the hearing is for, isn't it? To determine the validity of the charge. Oh, yes, of course, said Wilcox. To be sure.
Fuchs had not slept well his first 2 nights in Cellini, and the night before the hearing began, he expected to be too jumpy to sleep at all. But strangely, he slept soundly the whole night through. Pancho had come to Cellini and treated him to a fine dinner at the Earthview restaurant. Perhaps the vine had something to do with my sleeping, he told himself as he brushed his teeth that morning. He had dreamed, he knew, but he couldn't remember much of his dreams. Amanda was in them, and George, and some vague, dark, looming danger. He could not recall any of the details. When his phone chimed, he thought it must be Pancho, ready to pick him up and go with him to the hearing room. Instead, the wall screen showed Amanda's beautiful face. Fuchs felt a rush of joy that she had called. Then he saw that she looked tired, concerned. Lost, darling. I'm just calling to wish you well at the hearing and to tell you that I love you. Everything here is going quite well. The prospectors are giving us more business than we can handle, and there hasn't been a bit of trouble from any of the HSS people. Of course not, Fuchs thought. They don't want to raise any suspicions while this hearing is going on. Good luck in the hearing, darling. I'll be waiting for you to call and tell me how it turned out. I miss you. And I love you. Her image winked out. The wall screen went blank. Fuchs glanced at the clock on his bed table, then swiftly ordered the computer to reply to her message. The hearing begins in half an hour, he said, knowing that by the time Amanda heard his words, the meeting would almost be starting. I'm sorry I didn't bring you with me. I miss you too. Terribly. I'll call as soon as the hearing ends, and I love you too, my precious. With all my heart. The phone chimed again. This time it was Pancho.
Rise and shine, Lars, old buddy. Time to get this Bronco out of the chutes.
Fuchs was disappointed that Humphreys did not show up for the hearing. On thinking about it, though, he was not surprised. The man is a coward who sends others to do his dirty work for him, he thought.
Hey, look, Pancho said as they entered the conference room. Doug Stavanger's here.
Stavanger and half a dozen others were sitting in the comfortable wheeled chairs arranged along one wall of the room. The conference table had been moved to the rear wall and set out with drinks and finger foods. A smaller table was at the other side of the room, flanked by two chairs already occupied by men in business suits. One of them was overweight, ruddy, red-haired. The other looked as lean and jittery as a racing greyhound. They each held palm comps in their laps. The wall screen behind the table showed the black and silver logo of the International Astronautical Society. Two clusters of chairs had been arranged in front of the table. George and Noden were already seated there. Fuchs saw that the other set was fully occupied by what he presumed to be HSS personnel.
Good luck, buddy,
Pancho whispered, gesturing Fuchs toward the chairs up front. She went back to sit beside Stavanger. Wondering idly who was paying for the food and drink that had been set out, Fuchs took the chair between Big George and Noden. He had barely sat down when one of the men seated up front announced,
This hearing will come to order. Mr. Hector Wilcox, Chief Counsel of the International Astronautical Authority, presiding.
Everyone got to their feet, and a gray-haired, distinguished-looking gentleman in a Savile Row three-piece suit came in from the side door and took his place behind the table. He put a hand-sized computer on the table and flicked it open. Fuchs noticed that an aluminum carafe, beaded with condensation, and a cut crystal glass rested on a corner of the table.
Please be seated, said Hector Wilcox. Let's get this over with as efficiently as we can.
It begins, Fuchs said to himself, his heart thudding under his ribs, his palms suddenly sweaty.
Wilcox peered in his direction.
Which of you is Lars Fuchs?
I am, said Fuchs.
You have charged Humphrey's space systems with piracy, have you not?
I have not.
Wilcox's brows shot toward his scalp.
You have not?
Fuchs was amazed at his own cheek. He heard himself say,
I do not charge a corporation with criminal acts. I charge a person. The man who heads that corporation, Martin Humphreys.
Wilcox's astonishment turned to obvious displeasure.
Are you implying that the acts you call piracy, which have yet to be established as actually occurring, were deliberately ordered by Mr. Martin Humphreys?
That is precisely what I am saying, sir.
On the other side of the makeshift aisle, a tall, dark-haired woman rose unhurriedly to her feet.
Your Honor, I am Mr. Humphreys' personal assistant, and on his behalf, I categorically deny this charge. It's ludicrous.
Big George hopped to his feet and waved the stump of his arm over his head.
You call this ludicrous? I didn't get this picking daisies.
Order! Wilcox slapped the table with the flat of his hand.
Sit down, both of you. I will not have outbursts in this hearing. We will proceed along calm, reasoned lines.
Fervord and George resumed their seats. Pointing a bony finger at Fuchs, Wilcox said,
Now, sir, if you have evidence to sustain a charge of piracy, let us hear it. We'll look into the responsibility for such acts after we ascertain that they have actually happened.
Fuchs slowly rose, feeling a trembling anger in his gut.
You have the transcription of the battle between my ship, Star Power, and the ship that attacked us. You have seen the damage inflicted on Star Power. Mr. Ambrose here lost his arm in that battle.
Wilcox glanced over his shoulder at the ruddy-faced IAA flunky who nodded once.